Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Greetings all. You're listening to a program called Avant Gardening, coming from the Wairarapa, New Zealand. Our presenters are Margaret, that's me, Anna-Marie.
Hello.
And Marnie.
Hi.
And these programs are covering different ways of gardening and producing food and the different systems. Now, we've covered a lot of different systems, and most of them have been based with manure or compost. We're going to be radical today. We're going to jump into producing food without soil. So, Anna-Marie, do you want to kick off and explain a couple of these systems?
Right, so there's three systems that are commonly used. The first one's hydroponics, and that's where the roots of the plant are in water and all the nutrients comes that way, little tunnels. The second one is something called aeroponics, where the plants are actually in a vertical system and their roots are in the air. I know that sounds really odd, but it's actually a misting system. So they're constantly in this 100% humidity. So they gather all of their nutrients out of this water that's been misted onto them in regular intervals, so they never dry out. And the third system is something called aquaponics, and that uses fish. And then you grow your plants in like a hydroponic system, and the fish are doing the nutrients because you feed the fish, and then the fish poo in the water, and then that poo water then goes back onto the plants. And then so it's like a nutrient cycle that goes round and round and round. So it's almost like an enclosed system other than the food that's
coming. Right.
So if we go back to hydroponics as the first one, there are really good reasons why you would grow with hydroponics, but there's also some disadvantages. Hydroponics is very, very expensive to set up. The expense costs on this are massive. You have to have a completely enclosed system. You need kind of a big greenhouse. You've got to have water going in all directions. You've got to have big water tanks. You've got to have pumps. You've got to have electricity. You've got to have nutrients going to this. You have to be reasonably technically savvy because you have to be able to monitor the nutrient levels, the plants, how they're growing, bits and pieces. If you get a disease in your water, your whole system's wiped out overnight.
Right.
So that's a bit of a problem. And the other one is what to do with the wastewater at the end, which has now got heaps of nutrients in it. So,
okay, so if we describe it, it's often in pipes or...
Yeah.
Are they enclosed, the pipes?
The pipes have got... You've got a big pipe with water running through it,
yes.
And then you can have holes in the pipes and you can have your plants sit in that. You can, there's lots and lots of different ways that you can do this,
yep.
But essentially you're growing with the plant with roots and water.
Okay, so instead of getting its nutrients from the soil,
yes,
you're pumping, but you've got to know what the nutrients are needed.
You do. There's a lot of monitoring on this. You've got to have constant power. If your power goes out, everything dies. If it goes out for long enough, because you've got to have a lot of oxygen in the water as well. The big issue with hydroponics is getting enough oxygen to the roots. And there's certain things you can grow. You obviously can't grow root crops. You can't grow potatoes or carrots or anything
that. Anything
sort
that's bulbous.
Yes.
The
advantages are, you can also use a medium that water goes through, like an inert medium like vermiculite or perlite. And they are something like a mica. It's like a mineral that you heat up enormously and it kind of goes poof and explodes and you get this very light kind of... That was obviously...
I love this gardening with sound.
No. That's the scientific term.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm sure it does something terribly exciting. I don't know whether it makes a noise, but anyway, it was a
I'd be devastated if it doesn't.
Walking past and you
I'm
go,
sure there will be a YouTube go. One for vermiculite going poof. Anyway, so you can use an inert medium that the roots have actually got their, sorry, the plants have got their roots in and the water just gently flows.
So it's not pure water for some
plants. For some plants it can be pure water, yeah. For other ones they can actually have their...
So what are the nutrients? Where do they come from?
You add them and they tend
in liquid
to be...
form?
They'll be nitrogen, potassium, phosphate, that sort of thing, a little bit of sulfur, a little bit of magnesium, trace elements go in there as well. They'll generally all be inorganic. You're not adding poo into this because that brings in a certain amount of disease.
It is
that the advantages of doing hydroponics is it's extremely controlled. you can, if you're good at it and you know what you're doing, you can guarantee you're going to get this amount of plants out at the end in a particular amount of days. You can take a lettuce that would normally take 60 days to grow in the field and soil, you can grow it in 30.
Right, okay.
You can, in some cases, if you add extra lighting in, you can have five times the growth. It also makes it really soft growth, which means that if you get something like aphids or whitefly, then it all gets a bit kind of...
Which is great for lettuce, though, isn't it? Because you want a very tender lettuce. You don't want nasty, bitter, horrible,
that's
robust
exactly
lettuce.
Right.
You want something that grows, live fast, die young.
You want
something that grows very quickly, get it bagged, get it sold, get it gone.
So the type of thing is lettuce, and I've seen, you know, like sprouty things, you know.
Oh, little alfalfas.
Microgreens. Yes.
Microgreens.
That sort of stuff.
I've always wanted to know how they pick them when they're so small. But
the big one they use hydroponics is actually marijuana. That's the big, because you can do it, you know, it's enclosed.
I'm horrified that you know that.
So
she learned it from YouTube.
Oh, no, I actually learned it at university because my professor had done his PhD on trying to get two crops of cannabis out in a year rather than just one, and he was doing it with lighting, and that was what his PhD thesis was on.
Nowadays, I mean,
it was back in the 70s, obviously.
Yes, I know, but that's how it's advanced now. They're talking about selling our stuff overseas, so it's going to become a big thing to grow cannabis.
Yes. So on to aeroponics. Now that's fascinating. That is, it gets rid of a few of the issues with growing things in water, which is the hydroponics. The aeroponics, as the name implies, is actually plants growing in air. And so they're in these vertical systems. It's really quite amazing to watch in these, generally in big glass houses. You usually need these things in a temperature-controlled, light-controlled environment to get the maximum amount of production. So obviously it's extremely expensive. You have the plants growing in a vertical system, and you have a little mister that mists the roots.
Okay.
And so you don't have the issue with oxygen, because obviously
in the air,
because it's just obviously in air, and it's the roots are growing in 100% humidity, and they're getting, you know, the water's got all the little nutrients in, and because there's like a film of water on the roots most of the time,
so they're getting absorbed.
All this dust being absorbed. So you can also grow potatoes, and that I know it's
what lumps hanging down the wall.
Yeah,
you know,
lumps hanging down the wall. Yep, just lumps hanging down the wall.
You'd be amazed where you can grow potatoes, actually.
Yeah. But you can't grow them in hydroponics, but you
no,
can
no,
grow
you
them
can't
in
grow that.
So for a lot of countries where the climates are getting more and more and more difficult and getting hotter and hotter and drier, something like aeroponics is actually quite useful. It uses a lot less water than hydroponics because it's just a misting system, and all of it's recycled. It's all regathered because it's an enclosed system. But it is unbelievably expensive, and you can't have a power cut. If you have a power cut...
Okay, then you have problems again.
You have problems. So it's very, very high on power usage, very high on technology. You've got to be pretty with it to do these sorts of things, and very high on infrastructure. It's massive.
Right. Yeah. But this is also all talking sort of mass growth, growing things
commercially.
This is commercial farming. I mean, we're not going to ever talk about animal mass farming because that drives one dilly, you know. That's another story.
Yeah.
But really to grow lots quickly, to get it to market.
Yeah, if you were growing it in a space station, this is how you'd grow it. There are issues, obviously, with growing plants in space because a lot of plants grow using gravity. They actually do, their roots go down because they are geotropic. The word where they actually search out, they go down to gravity and the plants go up not only for light, but there's also the opposite of the gravity.
Okay.
So plants get terribly confused in space unless you provide
them. So do a lot of things, I believe. Yeah.
But you know, just thinking of air plants, you do get those things that grow in trees that are air plants.
Epiphytes.
They don't have, what do they call them?
Epiphytes.
Yes, that's right. Now, they're usually growing in a rainforest.
Yes.
Because they've got that 100% humidity around them. I have no idea where they're getting their nutrients from.
I'm just thinking, in South Africa, we had a grey one that was like a spiky plant, and you put it in your tree, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it had no root system.
No.
It wasn't actually feeding off the tree. It was just hanging there.
Mm, whatever's in there, I think.
I mean, I think things...
And there are places where, so for example, in Europe, There are places in Spain in particular which are acre after acre after acre of greenhouses.
Mm. Yes.
Just vast, vast areas of land which are just entirely greenhouses, yeah. And they grow salad vegetables, yep. Like yeah. Lettuce and
capsicums,
tomatoes, yeah, capsicums, yep. all those kind of things which are sent all over Europe.
Yes.
But the capital cost of setting that up is huge, absolutely
right.
Enormous.
Right.
But it does mean that your production, your rate of production goes up, your volume of production goes up. I mean, clearly it must be worth doing, otherwise people wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But there have been issues with some of these setups where bugs have got in.
Yes.
Is it listeria or salmonella or
something
particularly, this was a few years ago, something that got into the water and that translated into the plants themselves. They packaged those lettuces, I assume they were, sent them off to the UK, and then have to recall a load of it because people were getting sick.
Yes.
Because a lettuce is a huge percentage of water and had been contaminated with whichever bug it was that was in the water reticulation system. And it was a disaster and people were getting really quite sick.
So
there are pros and cons to this. You know, there's a good side, but there's definitely a downside. As Anna says, you really need to know what you're doing here.
Well, I mean, I'm always amazed. You know, YouTube always goes into someone's designed their home one, you know, like a box that you just get a lid and you put paper, or was it little plastic cups with holes in, and you put your plants in and you just have your water going. I kept thinking, no, but the water gets old and it must die. You know, I mean, you can't just have a bowl of water and stuff growing.
Well, this is where aquaponics come in.
We're getting into that. I forgot about the aquaponics.
Yes, no, this is absolutely
where the fish is.
This is the fish. I've got friends who have an aquaponics system using goldfish. And a lot of it's tricky in New Zealand. She says, bouncing about as usual. So aquaponics is where you are growing plants with the use of fish. So aqua is for, does aqua mean fish? I thought aqua meant water.
Aqua means water.
Aqua means water. Oh, well, we're doing it with water and fish.
Yeah.
And it's so you have fish at the bottom and you have plants at the top and you have the fish floating around in your little water tank and there's a pump and it pumps the water up into this sort of thingy at the top. And then it floods the beds. And then it lets it all go again. So things. So it's like a bell system. Is that the thing where you get it up to a certain level and then all of a sudden
it
changes over and then it all goes down into the fish again. So
So
the water is being cleaned by the plants because they suck all the nutrients out, and then because it's going bubble 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 through the thing, it's getting more oxygen. So when it goes down to the fish, it's now cleaned and oxygenated. And then the fish are doing their whole kind of poo thing in it again. And so that provides a lot of nitrates and nitrites and things. Yes. And then that goes back up into the fish.
So this one does use poo.
This one uses poo.
Fish poo.
Okay, at last we're back to the poo.
Yes.
But do the fish have to be fed separately?
Yes, they do. They still need food. Yep, that's where they get their nutrients. So it isn't an overly closed system.
What do they grow?
Anything you can grow in aquaponics.
Okay, so lettuces, etc.
Lettuces and herbs and capsicums. I don't know about tomatoes. I don't know whether they're...
You can actually do a less closed system as well and use a water exchange where you take out some of the water out of your tank or pond or whatever it is and use that for water in your garden, your regular garden, and then you add fresh water into the pond to keep the levels back up.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think of the name of the fish. I think it's called something like tilapia or something like that.
Tilapia,
that's it, that people actually grow to eat. So you get an additional resource out of this thing where you've got the pond, you've got the fish, you get the nutrient poo value for your garden, but you also get to eat the fish.
Yes.
And you've got some plants on the top.
Now tilapia, tilapia is the most used fish in the world for aquaponics. We're not allowed it in New Zealand. It is a pest fish if it gets here. It causes massive issues. We aquaponics in New Zealand is difficult, really, really difficult.
Okay.
You can use goldfish and koi, carp, which are those big giant things that you shouldn't really
eat. But you wouldn't eat those, would you?
No, you don't. And goldfish aren't any good to eat either.
More of a snack, really.
Have you seen the size of our goldfish? I could fill up them, obviously. So within New Zealand, the best fish to actually use or in the world are tilapia, trout, something called a ground bass, or common bass, a silver carp, what did I say, salmon?
Okay,
and salmon.
Oh, really?
And they are the best ones to use. So we can't use tilapia in New Zealand.
Yes.
We can't use koi carp, you really shouldn't. Or goldfish you can, but there you don't want to eat them anyway. Silver carp you are allowed to use in New Zealand, but you have to buy them from somewhere. I think there's a place in Auckland where they produce them, but they're all sterile so that they don't breed because silver carp or grass carp.
They take over.
I'm told they taste terrible as well. It's not something you'd want to eat.
It's the most eaten fish in the world.
Is it?
But we're a bit spoiled here.
I got told carp in general. I've never eaten carp, but I got told that carp in general, because of the way that they feed, can taste quite muddy.
Yes, they can, because they're a freshwater fish and they just... Yes, but we're awfully spoiled because we tend to eat snapper, don't we?
That's right.
So down here in New Zealand, we eat a lot of saltwater fish, and it is rather delicious. Yeah. Most of the world,
we're surrounded by of this fish-bearing ocean. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, if it's coming out of muddy dishes.
When we're talking about the water, do you have to have like rainwater, or you can just use tap water, or? Because surely that's got a bit of...
Chlorinated water is not very good for your fish. You can kill your fish if you use chlorinated
water. But I mean also in aquaponics?
Chlorinated water, I don't know. You generally use a sterilizer. This is in aquaponics and hydroponics.
Yeah.
I think you can put a sterilizing agent in there to stop the bugs.
Oh, this is also to clean...
Stop the fungi and the bacteria and things. But you do have to be careful that you're not killing your plants as well, because it is kind of like a...
By the sound of things, it's very expensive to set up properly. It needs a lot of technical knowledge of what the hell you're doing. And you've got to monitor it all the time.
Yep.
But you've got very fast growth.
Yes, you do. Okay. That's right, yep.
But for my little garden, or I'm smaller than you, it's not worthwhile. The effort and the other ways of growing.
There are other ways of growing, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a... end of the world kind of scenario. It's a big commercial thing for when everything's just too hot and hideous.
Oh, I see that we talk climate change and the whole world's going to burn up. Yep.
Climate change, I think, and for countries like, some of the Arabic nations where it's getting extremely hot, Spain where it's getting really, really hot, it's sort of...
Getting 40 degrees and things like that.
For big apartment buildings and things, if you had a hydroponic system in there, you could be
on your wall.
There is a school of architecture now of green, in inverted commas, architecture, which is looking at building multi-story buildings with many, many apartments using shared facilities, so like a shared laundry, shared gym, shared this, which is quite common and has been happening for some time. But they're also looking at shared green spaces, shared gardens, shared vegetable gardens and food production. Does a couple of things. There's the community aspect of it, which is great. There's the food producing aspect, but it also helps because there's much more green. It's not just concrete and hard materials. It has a mitigating effect on the temperature of the building itself. Yes. So that helps with the heating and the cooling of the building and making it a more even temperature rather than...
Is that indoor, outdoor, or sort of...?
Both, actually. Okay. The ones that I've seen the plans for... there's one that's sort of a cube with a hollow centre. It's got a green space in the centre, but it also has vertical gardening, growing green spaces on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
Mm. Rooftop gardens are quite common, although they can be very difficult to garden in because they're so very exposed unless you design them in a very specific way. But I think it's a real step forward because not only are you talking about changing the way that people live to make better uses of the resources that they have, you're talking about improving the ways that people live in those buildings as a community.
Yes.
I mean, you only have to look back at some of the horrendous housing projects from the 60s and the 70s that have just turned into slums.
Yeah.
And anything that you can do to not go down that route has got to be good. The green side of it, the environmental remediation side of it with the vertical gardening, again, it's important. And it has an aesthetic to it as well. Yes. It's not just about growing the food and managing the temperature. Yeah. It's about softening the environment, greening the environment.
Yeah. I mean, there are big moves all over the world. Now, I have a friend who lives in a big house, well, in Wellington, social housing thing, and she's in the garden. But she says only about 10 people do the gardening. But it is a space that people can use and produce food.
Mm. I don't think people realise quite how much food people eat.
I know.
I mean, it's lovely growing some little mint on your living wall to pop on your tea.
Yeah.
But in reality, you actually need an awful lot of carbohydrate. Yes. And these sort of systems aren't necessarily producing that. Fantastic lettuce, watercress, all that sort of thing. But
but it's a feeling of
but you've got to start somewhere. Particularly here in New Zealand, we have an extremely grain-based diet.
Yes.
Very heavily wheat-based. For those of us who aren't gluten intolerant. And that's not something you can grow on your windowsill.
No.
Not in any meaningful way. It has to be done out in the paddock. It has to be done in a certain way. It has to be cost effective. It has to be grown and harvested and supplied in a certain way. And you're never going to do that at home. No. Never in a million years. But all the other stuff you can do. You can grow your own tomatoes. You can grow your own cucumbers. You can grow your own potatoes. We grew quite a lot of potatoes last year. We dug up a piece of the garden and decided we were going to grow some of the staples like potatoes, pumpkins, onions, you know, those sort of things that take quite a lot of space. And we got, the onions didn't do terribly well, but the potatoes did really well and the pumpkins did really well. We got a good return on that.
Yeah.
If you don't have the space to do that, you can still grow tomatoes in buckets.
Yes.
You don't need a big garden to do that. And I firmly believe that gardening isn't just about what you produce. It's the action of gardening.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the being out there. Yes. It's the looking after the plant. It's the, oh my God, I've got a tomato. You know, all that stuff is just as valuable to me.
Well, it's so therapeutic. I mean, if you're in a bad mood or something, you go out there and you're drawn away from your own, because you're looking at something else.
Yeah.
You're getting involved in another thing outside of yourself.
I go and turn some soil over with a fork, and by the time you've done that, you're so exhausted you can't think about anything.
No, that's right.
Just stab at it with a fork.
Yes.
Well, there's that theory on it's called grounding. You know, you're supposed to go and stand out in the grass on your bare feet and wriggle your toes.
Or hug a tree or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've gone through all these different systems, and most of our systems, except for today, have been ground-based, you know, talking about soil, talking about understanding your section, you know, all those things, which you can, I mean, we're three different people from three different sizes of property, but we all grow things.
Yes,
and we all feel passionately about it. And, you know, I mean, I'm finding it a bit more difficult as I get older, but you can still grow something.
Yes.
You can still do something. Mm. So if you had to say, which is your one you would go, I think you all decided, even though permaculture has got all its pros and cons, it gives you a basis of looking at your section and working through how you lay it out. I mean, Marnie, you were pretty good on that too.
I'm a strong advocate for design. And as we have probably established over these, as we've been doing these, I don't want to work that hard. You know, I want to keep it simple. So if I can use design to mean that my time that I spend in the garden is spent as productively as possible without having to do as much grunt work as I probably probably should be doing anyway. If I can, you know, if I can find a simpler way to do things, something which means it's less work, then why wouldn't you do that? Because you can enjoy your time in the garden much more noodling about with plants than you can. Personally, I hate mowing the grass. It just ticks me right off. So if I can minimise the amount of time I mow the grass, I'm all good. And design can do that for you.
Yeah.
It can give you a garden that suits your needs rather than something that's just a chore every weekend.
And you've done that with your garden.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you know, you've built on it over the years. It's not one go. The other thing I think I learned from you very much. It takes time.
And it doesn't matter if you make a mistake. either. It just doesn't matter. People get terribly upset and a bit sort of wall-bound about having to have it perfect the first time. Come and look at my garden. It is not perfect. Mm. It's big and it's inventive and it's adventurous and it's bits of it are gorgeous, but there's a lot of bits that you go, oh, my goodness me. But it evolves. Everything evolves.
Oh, well, that's the joy of gardening.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's an experiment as well, and it's being inventive. And so
it should be, because gardening by its very nature changes. Every season is different. Yeah. Every year is different.
Every week is different.
Every week is different. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you'll grow some things one year and they'll be fantastic, like brilliant tomatoes, great. I always go back to tomatoes because it's what I grow a lot of. And you have one year where you have brilliant tomatoes the following year and they'll be abysmal, but the pumpkins will be really good.
That's right.
You know, every year is going to be different, so nothing is going to change. So if you're a person who doesn't like change, maybe gardening is not for you. But, you know, but I think it's one of those things that helps us to accept that things do change and things
absolutely.
Do evolve. Yes. And by being a gardener, you're putting some control over that and saying, yes, I accept that this changes, but I want it to change this way.
Yes. Yeah.
And I want it to change, and I want a tree over there, and I want a chair underneath that tree so I can sit and read a book. You know, it's change, but it's change that you're in control of.
Yes. And it's a challenge each time to say, okay, so this didn't work, let's try it another
way.
As you say, you can't be too rigid. I mean, I find this is an old garden. I don't know if you've noticed coming in how many bulbs have come up. I didn't plant any of those white bulbs, the little snowdrops. Yeah. They're all over the garden.
Mm.
And it's a joy. I mean, they suddenly appeared. So gardens also go on through other people looking after them. Mm. When you buy an old garden, don't dig up everything.
No, wait and
please
watch.
Please wait.
Wait and watch.
I think someone put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered a huge amount in the last few, well, not few, it's been over 23 or 24 sessions. You realise that?
Goodness.
Mm. A long time. So I want to thank you very, very much. Last words? Silence,
Just garden.
Get out there, do it. Just do it.
Just do it, yes.
Okay. Go garden.
Thank you very much. All right. Bye, everyone.